Well, do keep that passage open before you. Colossians 1, we continue our series together now. Let's pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts as we look at this wonderful passage before us tonight. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you want to speak to us. You've got things you want to teach us. We pray by your Spirit we'd come and help us to continue following Jesus Christ, rooted and built up in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder, do you ever suffer from FOMO? FOMO. Let me give you an example. There I was, very happy, on holiday in Italy, on a lovely campsite, in a lodge. That's what they called the tin box that we were in. A lodge, a grand name for an immobile home. And don't get me wrong, it was a very swish caravan. But then I saw another holiday company's lodge. It was aesthetically so much nicer. It came with a coffee machine with pods. And I thought, I'm missing out. I'm missing out. This holiday could be so much better. You see, FOMO is the fear of missing out. FOMO is a recognized global phenomenon. The fear of missing out is recognized for many people as an issue. So there you are on Instagram or Facebook, and you look at somebody else's life, the fun they're having, the fact you're not there, and you experience FOMO, fear of missing out. And we saw last week that this was an issue for the Colossian church, the congregation there. They were in danger of experiencing FOMO. Fear of missing out. Thinking that what they'd experienced in Christ was not enough. It seemed like people were saying this. Yeah, you've got Jesus. That's great. You've come to follow Jesus. But what you need is a bit more than Jesus. You need Jesus plus. Jesus plus what we can offer you. Whether it's a deeper teaching or a more profound experience that we can offer you. So you get a whiff of it in chapter 2 and verse 8. Have a look at it. Paul says, "See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental forces of this world, rather than Christ." You've got Christ, they say, but what you need is to follow our new philosophy, our experience. Then you'll have a full Christian experience. You are missing out. And Paul wants to say, no. No, that's not the case. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And as Paul writes this book, he begins by reminding them of what they have. And that it's the real deal. No need to suffer from FOMO. No need to fear on missing out. Because what they have in Jesus Christ is all they need. And last week when Tim began this series, we saw that Paul wanted to emphasize that they had a genuine Christian experience. He says they heard the gospel from a genuine Christian guy, verse 7. Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. The gospel he received was the true and faithful gospel. And that's the same message that's spreading all over the world, verse 6. This gospel that you received is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. And Paul rejoices that they are the real deal. They are genuine believers, verse 4. We've heard of your faith, he says, in Christ, and of your love that you have for all of God's people. Jesus has changed your life. He's changed your life. You heard the gospel through Epaphras. It's the same gospel that's bearing fruit around the world. You're showing the fruit of being genuine believers, your love for each other. You have the real deal. And that's why Paul has this theme verse, I think, in the whole book in chapter 2 and verse 6. The big idea of Colossians, so then he says, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in him. Strengthened, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul knows these guys are genuine Christians. He gives thanks for them in verses 1 to 8. And now in our passage, the second half of this opening chunk, what he does is this. He prays for these Christians. He gives thanks to God for them the first few verses, and now he moves to pray for them. And as he prays tonight, will we learn how we can pray for each other to keep going, to continue in the Christian race, not to move on, not to doubt, not to wonder if we've got the real deal or not, but to pray that we will keep continuing in the faith we've received and keep praying for that each other and for ourselves. And look what Paul says. He says something he keeps praying about. Verse 9, he thinks it's really important. He says, since the day I've heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. This is something he keeps on praying. We continually ask God. And why does Paul do that? Why does he pray? Why is Paul such a passionate prayer for these believers? Well, because he knows that God hears and answers prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's powerful. And that's how God, in his brilliance and his mystery works, he responds to the prayers of his people. And what does he pray? Two big things to take away tonight. The first thing he prays is this. Paul prays that God would fill them, the believers, with the knowledge of his will. Father, fill them with the knowledge of your will. That's verse 9, isn't it? Have a look at that. For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to do what? To fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The way to continue in Jesus, rooted and built up in him, is that the Lord will fill you, your life, your mind, your heart, with what? His will. What he wants for you. How he wants you to live. Filled with the knowledge of his will. What God desires for us. And that is something God wants to do for each of us. We know Christ tonight. He wants you to know how he wants you to live. He wants to fill you with his truth. And that's a supernatural thing. Do you see how it happens? Verse 9, with the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. This is God's work by his Spirit in your heart, in your life, in your mind, through all the wisdom that the Spirit gives. How does he give that? Well, just think. How is it that you understand the Bible? How is it that at times when you read the Bible, you hear it taught, suddenly the lights go on? And when it's taught or explained, well, it's by the Spirit of God. How is it that when you chat to a friend and they share a word of encouragement with you, or a verse from the Bible, or wisdom with you, and it impacts you for good. How is that filling you with a knowledge of God's will? How does that happen? It happens by the work of the Spirit of God, taking truth into our hearts and bringing it to life. You see, we should pray, Father, fill up my family, fill up my friends, fill up my church, with the knowledge of what you want, by the power of your Spirit, through your word, however it comes to people. And it's wonderful that if you get that fill of the knowledge of God's will, and the Spirit takes a grip on your heart and your mind and changes your life through that, then what does it result in? Verse 10? So you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to live a life that pleases our Creator, our loving God? I do. I want to live that life, a life that pleases the God who loved me and gave his Son for me. And that life looks like a life that's maturing in the knowledge of who God is, his character, growing to know God better, and bearing fruit in every good work. You see, when Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8, to continue in Christ, don't move on from Jesus, You do nothing more than him. It doesn't mean you stand still as a Christian. No, you need to keep growing. Keep growing in your faith. Become a disciple of Jesus. Grow in your love for him and your knowledge of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Become more like him as you bear fruit in your life. And that results in a life that's worthy of the Lord. So, for example, what am I praying for all our young people who have just left us again or for the first time as they've gone to university? My deepest longing is not that they get a great degree. That's kind of secondary, isn't it? I want them to stick with Jesus. I want them to continue following him. So I keep praying, Lord, fill them with the knowledge of what you want them to know and do so they live fruitful lives and grow in their knowledge of you in this whole confusing world of university. And as I pray that, I pray, Lord, help them to find a great church where they teach the Bible and they have great encouragement. Lord, give them some great Christian friends who will spur them on to love and follow you, to encourage them to live a life that pleases you in a secular environment. Lord, may they be encouraged and may the fruit of Christ grow in them as they come to know Jesus more. What a great thing to pray for each other, isn't it? For my life, for our young people away, for each other as a church family. Lord Jesus, we pray, fill your people with the knowledge of your will that they might continue in you. Second thing to pray that Paul prays. Can we go into the next slide, Tony? Thanks, buddy. Lord, strengthen them with your power. Strengthen them with your power. This is verses 11 to 13. I don't know about you, but at times I feel very weak and frail as a Christian. I can feel overwhelmed by the marathon ahead of me. How will I keep on continuing to follow Jesus? How will I keep leading this church? How will I keep on keeping on in the stresses and strains of life and the pressures that come upon us and the temptations I give into or the temptation to move away from Jesus, which can be very real? Because let's be honest, it's really hard to follow Christ. It's the biggest joy in life. It is what life is all about. But it's not easy, is it? It is a narrow road that twists and turns. It is a long haul. How do we keep on continuing? Well, it's going to take God's power to do that, isn't it? That's what Paul prays to these believers. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Paul prays, Lord, strengthen the Colossian Christians with your power so they can keep going and continue in Christ Jesus, right to the finishing line that leads to the new heaven and new earth. I'd like to watch this little video and ask the question, how does this athlete keep going? Thanks, Tony. I can see it here. Let's stop. Do you want to go up, Kathy? Yay. Well done for continuing, Tony. It's a really famous clip, and it's very moving, isn't it? I go to choke up when I watch that. There's Derek Redmond. How does he finish the race? How does he keep going? Well, his father comes alongside him, and I love the way his father kept pushing them away. Go away! He's going to finish the race! And it's the strength of his dad coming alongside this injured athlete who's limping along that gets him across the line to finish. And you know, if you think you can do the Christian life without the Lord, you're fooling yourselves. We need the Lord to come in by his Spirit and to help us and empower us to keep going in the Christian life. Limping to the finishing line, how do we do that? Well, it's through the blessing of the gospel that we are not on our own. That God by Spirit can come in and empower us and encourage us to keep on going. That is why we must pray, Lord God, for each other, empower us. Give us strength with all power that comes from you, according to your glorious might, to keep us enduring and continuing to follow Jesus Christ. I was at my old vicar's funeral just a couple of weeks ago. And it was hugely moving and wonderful as we gave thanks to God for his life. And then he finished the race trusting Jesus Christ. He's a man who hugely inspired me in his faith and his love and his prayerfulness. And actually celebrated not him, but actually the work of God in him and through him. And he put the service together. It was everlasting. It was an hour and a half. But we sang hymns that glorified God. It was a huge joy to be there. And all the glory didn't go to him, but to the one who saved him and kept him going. That's the work of God's Spirit, isn't it? Working mightily in the heart of a believer. And that's what I want for all of us here at All Saints. As your pastor, I want you to endure, to continue. I pray that we will all keep going, continue in Christ Jesus. And I know for that to happen, we cannot do that on our own. We need the Spirit of God to come and strengthen us, his glorious might, to give us patient endurance. You see, why is Steve Rees still Christian? Is it because I'm super holy and super vicary? No. I'm a flawed sinner saved by grace. And the reason I'm going as a Christian today, and I pray I'll go to the end of my life, is because of the supernatural work of God in my life, giving me endurance and patience. And that makes me so thankful. It makes me so thankful to God. God has been so faithful to me. In answer to the prayers of my family, my grandmother prayed for me every day until she died. My parents pray for me every day to keep going. My wife prays for me. I know many of you pray for me. Thank you. Kept by Jesus and his glorious, faithful power. I need the strong power of Jesus. And we all need that. Are you praying that for yourself? You know, when temptation comes, and you can go one of two ways. Are you shooting up those arrow prayers saying, Lord Jesus, when the press is on and it's practically tough, Lord, strengthen me by your Spirit, your glorious might, to endure faithfully, trusting Christ and following him. Do you know, often when I'm in situations where I'm scared to stand up, I have to say things and do things that I naturally would run a mile from, and I'd be lost without Jesus and the gift of prayer. Often I pray, Lord, I'm so weak, but you are mighty. By your power, help me. And he does, time and time again. He does. His power keeps me and keeps his people enduring in what he's called us all to do. And that's what Paul prays for these believers, genuine Christians. He prays, Lord, strengthen them with your power so they keep going. Two great things to pray, aren't they? For us all. And did you notice, as we come to the end of this prayer, this path for continuing to be rooted in Christ Jesus, it overflows in praise and thanks. It results in joyful prayer. A joyful appreciation of all that God has done in Christ Jesus. Paul kind of explodes at the end of this prayer in praise. You see, how can I fear I am missing out when actually I recognize all the blessings that are mine in Christ Jesus? Listen to this, verses 12 and 13. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is what the Lord has done for us, what we could not do for ourselves. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight, this is what Jesus came to do for people like you and me. This is the treasure that Jesus came to make possible for us if we trust in him. Look at that phrase, qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Qualified for heaven, verse 12. How amazing is that? Our sin naturally means that we cannot get to heaven to be with God. It cuts us off from him. And yet God has made the way for us to be welcomed into his family, to be qualified to be in his kingdom now and forever. Now, lots of people would love to meet the Queen. But unless you're invited, you can't get in to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. I can do nothing to get myself in there. Not welcomed. I'm not a member of a family. I'm not a member of her staff. I cannot get access. But one day, the vicar got an invitation to have tea with the Queen. How amazing was that? It was very intimate. It was me and 5,000 other people. All in a garden. What qualified me for that? Anything I did? No. It was a random lucky dip with other vicars. And I got the invitation for the commoner to come in. How do we get qualified to enter God's forever kingdom? The new heaven and new earth that many people long for deep down? Well, God makes the way to qualify us. He sends out the invitation to the world he loves. Come to my son who has made the way and trust him. It is through Jesus. That is the way to be qualified for heaven. And if you're a believer tonight, you are qualified for heaven. Through faith in Christ. Nothing else you need to add to that. Look at what Jesus has done. For he has rescued us. Verse 13. He's rescued us. He comes to rescue us from hell to heaven. He comes to rescue us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the Son, the King's Son, the kingdom of the Son, who is loved, very much loved. What a rescue. Verse 14 in Jesus is redemption. That is, our sins are paid for. The price is paid. We're brought back to God, the one who made us, redeemed. And that leads us, verse 14 as well, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of God in Jesus is immense. And we cry, hallelujah, what a saviour. And what has God done for the one who trusts in Jesus? Everything. Nothing more to add. No fear of missing out. What more do we need? Nothing. We hold fast to Christ and the gospel we received, and we continue in it. FOMO. Fear of missing out? No. No, we have all things. So let's stay where we are and grow deeper in our love and knowledge of God and what he wants. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, died last year. He was taken home to heaven. He had an amazing family. They're still alive. And one of his kids is called Anne Graham Lotz. And she's got this fantastic southern drawl. I won't impersonate it. I went to hear her speak once at the Keswick Convention, and she spoke really well, but there was a phrase that stayed from hearing her speak, and it was this. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all we need. Jesus, his gospel. No need to fear on missing out. Remain in him. Don't wander away. And let's pray together that we will keep on using this great prayer together to be filled with the knowledge of his will and his power to live a life that pleases him. Well, let's be still and bow our heads.